Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 184. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
It is the night before Thanksgiving as we sit here recording. You've probably already enjoyed your Thanksgiving and all that by the time you're listening to this. But as per tradition, we are doing our podcast a day early and a little bit drinkier than usual.
Yeah.
So this will be another installment of our annual Drunksgiving episode. And if you enjoy this, listen to the Perfectly Sane Show where we will be drunk. We'll be
definitely have imbibed more alcohol at that point.
But we do have a slate of actual like new movies here to talk about. Well, at least two brand new theatrical releases.
Yeah.
Starting with this weekend's brand new movie. I have not seen it yet. I am planning on going to see it sometime in the very near future. But I'm very interested to hear, Chris, your take on Creed 2.
Yeah, so Creed 2, the sequel to Creed, the sequel to the Rocky series. So it's a film with some legacy. It's the eighth film in the Rocky series, second in where the main character is following Adonis Creed, son of Apollo Creed, friend and competitor of Rocky Balboa. It's a little bit different. You know, the last one was Adonis finding his place in the world, finding that there are people that care for him. And proving to himself that he can live up to a legacy that wasn't ever really, you know, pushed on him, but one that he wanted to embrace. And I think both of us loved the original Creed. Excellent film. Directed by Ryan Coogler. This one not directed by Coogler. He also does not have a, I don't think he has a writing credit on it. Nope. Outside of the characters. It's co-written by Stallone and somebody named Jewel Taylor. I'm not really sure who that is. Anyway, it is more boxing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and the boxing is good in it. It takes a different tone though, because I mean, you have to, you know, at the end of Creed, like he had conquered everything he needed to do.
Did he win at the end of Creed?
I believe he did, and even if he didn't, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I actually plan on hopefully watching Rocky IV and Creed before
this, but so. So yeah, so the big tie here is that it ties into Rocky IV, which is,
I mean, so does Creed, kind of, you know.
Huh?
You know, so does Creed, kind of.
I mean, yeah, definitely, because
I mean, Creed, it's weird, right? Because it's like it ties into the whole series, kind of.
It does.
It's like Rocky IV is like the turning point on which I think the Creed series hinges as well.
Yes, because that is where Apollo dies.
Yeah.
And leaving behind Adonis and leaving behind his wife and everything that goes along with that ties to this action that happened where Ivan Drago killed him in the ring. And of course, in Rocky IV, you know, Rocky then goes and he trains and he takes up a fight in Russia against Ivan and wins. It's a weird film, I think. Like, I have a lot of nostalgia for it. It's probably my favorite Rocky movie.
Yeah.
But I feel that's a weird movie now. Like, it's a movie that stems a lot. Like, it plays up the patriotism angle, like, a ton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, it was an 80s movie. Like,
yeah. I mean, the whole America-Russia angle, though. Back in news.
But at the time, like, we were in the middle of the Cold War with Russia. Like,
at the time, our president didn't you know, suck up to Russia.
Didn't suck up to Russia.
Yeah.
Thankfully, like, that is not played into here. Like, they don't play up a patriotism angle. They don't make it Russia versus USA. This is very much a personal story of Adonis facing his past, like, and the legacy that came from that fight. And the first time he does it, he just does it. So I'm going to break. There's two fights between Victor Drago, Ivan's son, and Adonis Creed or Adonis Johnson. There's two fights, and obviously you could tell where the first one goes because he has to fight him again. And the first time he faces off against him, he does it because he's angry, and he allows the Dragos to kind of, like, hype him up and get him angry and get him off of his game. And, like, just the reason that he's fighting is because he's angry that this guy killed his son. But he doesn't really have a real reason to fight him. And that's where, most of this movie takes place in him finding a reason to fight and why he's fighting and how he can get back there and get his mind in the game. He is the champion from, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie. Like, he wins the championship belt very early. So there's not, like, a lot of adversity he's the champion. Like, what adversity is there? He's reached the pinnacle, and it's really a lot of, like, mental games with him. And it's done really well. Like, Michael B. Jordan is really good. I really like him as Adonis Johnson, Adonis Creed. Sylvester Stallone is Sylvester Stallone. I mean, he owns that character. Tessa Thompson as Bianca is great again. Felicia Rashad, she has a bigger role in this than she did in the last one. Not huge, but enough. She's really good. And really, it's Dolph Lundgren and this guy Florian Montano as the Dragos that are really good. Like, they play great villains all the way up through the end. Like, you want to see him win. You want to see Adonis win, but also there you feel for the Dragos because this piles on. Like, this is 30 years after that fight.
What has his life been like?
And it's terrible. He lost to Rocky in Russia. He lost everything.
I might sound crazy saying this. I think that he is an underrated actor.
Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
He's very good. Like, he doesn't have a lot to do. In fact, I think very little English language in it. He doesn't have a ton of lines, but he is able to convey emotion in a way that you wouldn't expect from a guy who is basically generally considered, like, D-tier 80s action star. And I really like the interaction between Ivan and Victor. Like, it works really well. This isn't as strong as the first Creed, but I think if you like that first movie, coming back for more characters here you're gonna have a good time. It's a good fun sports movie. It plays a little predictably, but hey, that's fine. Like, it can. It's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, there's only two ways a sports film can end. So,
right.
I'm excited. We think we'll do a more in-depth review once I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've been really, I think I said it last week, that I'm, like, really hesitant about this one. So I've been keeping my hype in check. I'm really, like, I think it's really cool that they brought Dolph Lundgren back. So we'll see what I think of it. Chris, what is your verdict?
I'm going to give it a 4. Right. I really liked it. It's not as strong as the first one, but something I am happy I went to go see. Some great shots of Philadelphia early on. Some nice shots of like Moscow and Las Vegas as well, because this one travels a little bit more. Yeah, they do some interesting stuff where they visit the Rocky statue, like the Dragos do, and it's like it's this weird like kind of antagonistic tone throughout that whole scene of them entering the city that plays real well. Like, I really liked it. And I will say that the theater I was in was pretty well filled, but I don't know how this plays outside of Philadelphia. Rocky is inherently it's a big deal in this city, and for everybody. Like, it's not just like it attracts all walks of life in Philadelphia. So the fact that the theater was pretty full early on a Friday, I am not surprised by. I don't know where the hype meter is for this outside of the city. So
I'm sure it'll be number one this weekend. I don't know. I have no idea what it's projected to do or anything.
Oh, I mean, there's no way it's number one. Like, Ralph Breaks the Internet comes out. That's going to destroy everything. But
I totally slept on that. I'm seeing that too.
But Creed 2, I hope does well, because I'd like to see. I say this now. I'd like to see more, but also I don't know how much more there is to do. And we can definitely talk more about that after you see it.
Yeah, but Creed 1 is more than we ever should have gotten.
For sure.
It's just like the fact that Creed happened and it was as good as it was. Is kind of like a little miracle.
Yes. And
it's like, why? That's why I'm like also iffy about even seeing Creed 2, where I'm like, why are we? I'm going to feel the same way when they inevitably follow up this new Halloween, where I'm like, you guys aren't going to do it as good. There's no way, you know? But...
Right. And I do think they do some interesting things with the characters here. And that goes a long way. But yeah, it does. It doesn't feel as special as that first Creed.
Well, I will. We'll dive deep on that next week.
Good.
And before we get into our other new theatrical release, Chris, I'm going to shake this up a little bit here, and I'll talk about one of the most talked about films of the year. Actually, it just released on Amazon Prime. That is Gotti. I'm sure you've heard of this.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I mean, I don't. Maybe it is one of the most talked about films, but I don't think it's for good reasons.
No, it's not. So, Gotti, in case mob shit's not your thing, it's based on this real life mobster, John Gotti. I'm sure you've probably heard of him. He was a big New York mob guy. It was a real fucking real piece of work, like a real vicious gangster, right?
Yes.
And this is a biopic about him that is directed by Kevin Connolly, who, HBO viewers will remember as E from Entourage. I don't know what the fuck is up with that, but
starting out great here.
And holy shit, I did not know this till just now. It's written by Lem Dobbs and Leo Rossi. I am guessing that is the same Leo Rossi who you will see in this film, who is Bud from Halloween 2.
Okay.
Isn't that his name, Bud?
Yes, the guy in he's one of the paramedics.
Yes. He's in this. He's old and fat now. And I was like, who the fuck is that guy? And I'm
it is that guy.
I'm looking up the cast. It's him. I did not know this until literally just now. He wrote this fucking thing too. the way I've been like describing this to people like all week, and no one thinks it's as clever as I think it is. On The Sopranos, one of the characters, he like one of the younger like generation gangsters on it. He really wanted to be like involved in Hollywood, and he wanted to make movies. And he finally did get to make a movie, and it was called Cleaver, and it was like a straight to video Saw ripoff that he did. And so the joke I've been making all over Twitter is like, this is his follow up, Gotti, because like it feels like someone who like really like loves mob shit, but has absolutely no idea how to do a, like make a movie or like tell a story or what, you know, what works in a narrative or anything. It's just like some fucking bozo fucking meathead somehow got the money to make a fucking mob movie. So I'm personally proud of that take, saying it's Christopher Moltisanti's follow up to Cleaver. But another really good take I saw on it that someone said is like, this movie feels like if you forced a bot to watch Goodfellas 1,000 times and then told it to like make a fucking mob movie. Because this movie it's like a random fucking assortment of scenes with no cohesion or a narrative through line or anything. It's just random scenes, shit that happened in Gotti's life. Kind of bouncing all over the place, too. And, you know, narrated by him. And then also, like, really terrible fucking musical, like, music choices throughout. Like, constant songs throughout the soundtrack that are just, like, wildly inappropriate to the scenes that they're in. And they feel like someone that didn't know how to mix audio just threw them over the fucking movie. including there's a montage early on of him constantly being let out of prison for God knows whatever crimes, you know, like him doing his short stints in prison. So this is a montage of him like, you know, getting his stuff back, and then but also like mixing with him killing people, and the whole thing is set to the theme from Shaft for some reason. I don't understand. It's like, it just feels so amateur. Like, yeah, we're going to copy and paste this theme from another fucking really famous movie. It's wild, dude. This thing is wild. It stars John Travolta as Gotti. I think Travolta's actually, like, pretty good in it.
Okay.
But, I mean, the thing, this thing is, like, it's an oddity. And it is one of those, like, so bad it's good type deals, because you're just, like, I'm just kind of in awe throughout, like, how this thing got made. Like, also, this was produced by, like, MoviePass. Like, they made it.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
But, yeah, it's just, like, I don't understand how they thought this was, like, a script. And then on top of it, the best thing this does is like the biggest parts. Like, you know, if you know anything about the story of Gotti, you might remember that his kid got like run over by a drunk driver, like in his neighborhood. And that Gotti like went and tortured and murdered this like civilian to get revenge on him for killing his son, right?
Right.
And like in the movie, there's like a scene where he comes home and like his kid is, you know, oh no, the kid's out in the street and he got hit, right? And then it just cuts to like a news clip from back in the day about like, oh, and then that guy is like, he was seen going like into a restaurant and like these people like drove up and pulled him into a car. And, you know, obviously he's believed to be murdered by John Gotti. And like, they just show like this 2.5 minute news report. And then the movie goes on, and it's like 1985. I'm like, wait a second. You're skipping over like the big moments and just showing a news clip? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, You know what I'm saying? It's like insert scene here.
Right.
Well, instead of that, we'll put in an old fucking news clip, and it's like all right, a lot of like true life movies, like, you know, movies based on a true story. At the end of the movie, they'll like show you some real footage or show you a real photograph.
Not during the movie though.
Yeah, and it's like, and even in during the movie, they will still dramatize the most dramatic parts.
Right.
Of that story, like what I. I'm telling you, the most dramatic parts of this movie are all told through fucking news clips. I was just like, what the fuck are we doing? It's a really baffling movie. I have to wonder what, you know, it feels like a bunch of fucking like crazy Italian guys got the money to make this thing. And we're like, we're doing this. And it's a disaster. It's a train wreck. But I was amused by that, I guess.
Well, that's one good. Star,
but okay. It's actually kind of a recommend. It's like if you have Prime, like I would say don't like pay money to see this, but like if you have Prime, I would watch it just because it's kind of ridiculous how bad it is. So,
excellent.
Yeah, you know, might win some award near the end of the year. I don't know what, but speaking of vying for awards. It's kind of a prestige film we went and saw.
Sure.
Windows.
Yeah.
It's directed by Steve McQueen, who Oscar winning director.
Yep.
Has
a hell of a cast, too.
Hell of a cast. Screenplay by McQueen and Gillian Flynn.
Yep.
Who, I mean, Gone Girl, Sharp Objects. She's awesome, I think, for the most part. But doing, you know, kind of a genre heist movie, but also kind of a sprawling, like, kind of a sprawling crime drama in a way. Like, it's not just, you know, this is not just, like, Ocean's 8, like, we're putting together a heist. I think there's a little...
There's a little more to it.
There's, like, a lot on the edges of this. And I don't even know if you necessarily call it all the edges. It's just kind of, like, this bigger kind of entangled crime drama thing with, you know, a heist at the center of it.
Yeah, it all interacts with each other.
Yeah, but, you know, the central setup is a bunch of widows, like their husbands were doing a heist. They die. They're left with debts that their husband owe and a plan to pull off a next heist, and they decide to do it. It's kind of the broad strokes of that. What did you think of this movie, Chris?
I really liked it. I really, really liked it. There are great performances throughout. I think the script is very good. There are some twists in there that I didn't see coming, and neither did the dude sitting next to me in an empty theater. We have assigned seats. Dude bought a ticket right next to me.
That would really bother me.
It did, but we made it work, and the two of us, like, we didn't talk to each other, but we were commenting on the movie, like, to ourselves, and very much the same commentary.
That's awesome.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, we can talk about that in a minute. I'm assuming
there's a big
twist.
Yes.
There's one big one. Maybe we'll talk a little spoilers at the end of this, but yeah, just generally you had a good time with this thing.
It's a very good crime drama with a pretty decent heist thrown in. I enjoy the heist setup and how they go about doing things, but there's way more layers to this than that. It is a film that doesn't just touch on like political items. Like, it kind of slams them home in very interesting ways, very tragic ways in some cases, that just play out on scene, and you see the way things fall out and how things are interacted, and there's that particular one. There's also like just politics in general.
So around the edges, outside of the main heist of this, is like this kind of politics story, about like an alderman, right? Like trying to get reelected, isn't he?
Well, he's taking over his dad's slot.
So his dad is the active one right now. Yep,
he had stepped down before they're doing a special election. He stepped down because he had a heart attack, but really it was just to like line his son up to get.
And if you know Chicago politics, that's Chicago politics. There's nepotism big time in Chicago. And it kind of feels like he's the heir apparent, like it's his seat to give to his son.
Yep.
Right.
Like I think they even make like notice like that, like it was like his. Yeah. Great grandfather had been like they basically owned
that's
this
Chicago before. Dude, that's Chicago, that's total, like, that's Chicago. I'm sure that happens everywhere, but I mean there's multiple examples of that you can like think of when you point to Chicago. So it's like kind of assumed that Colin Farrell will be this new politician. But he has this black guy who's challenging him, who's, more represents the neighborhood, right?
Right.
And so that whole, like, part of it actually I found to be, like, really interesting and, like, kind of a lot to chew on, considering that that's not the main focus of the movie. Like, they give you a lot to think about, I think,
at
the very least, And it all kind of does weave together. Like, it's weird, okay? So, like, my opinion, I walked out of this movie going, I thought that was pretty solid. And then as the week went by, I like forgot the whole movie, which is not a good sign.
No.
That's a movie that's really great. I remember certain parts of it months, years later. I saw Black Klansman back in, August? And there's parts of that movie I still remember, like really stick with me. So it's weird, but then as I started to think about the movie in preparation for our podcast here, and kind of going over the plot, I'm like, no, yeah, you know what? I don't know why it was fading, but there's a lot of cool things in here. There's a great cast. I mean, this is a deep bench. Like Jackie Weaver, Carrie Coon, Daniel Kaluuya, who by the way is like one of my favorite parts of this whole movie.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he plays like this enforcer guy who works, I think.
Oh, he's so brutal.
Does he work for the black politician, right?
His brother.
Is that his brother?
It's his brother, yeah.
But he basically works for him, right? He's he comes. I don't know if he's like acting out of,
What he's
doing is sanctioned or not.
I took it as no, especially since that there's a scene where I gotta look up his name, but the guy who's running for Jamal Manning, he's the guy who's running for
the challenger.
Yeah, he's the challenger, and his brother is Daniel Kaluuya.
Okay.
He actually tells him at one point, like, lay off of, if there's this scene that's in a bowling alley, a brutal torture scene. it's sadistic.
The way he commits violence is so matter of fact.
Oh yeah, and, so there's this other scene that's in. It's like in a basketball court, in like a gym type area, and he's like, he finds these two dudes that have slacked off and resulted in them losing a lot of money, and he's like, yeah, well, go ahead, rap for me, and like the dude's rapping, he's like getting on with it. All of a sudden, he pulls out a gun and blows the dude's head off. It's like holy shit.
There's a reason. I mean, I think Daniel Kaluuya is a pretty awesome actor. There's a reason I wanted him to win the Oscar last year. Like, That dude has shown such amazing range between like Black Mirror, fucking Black Panther, Get Out, I think is a really understated performance. And here he's going full like fucking, this is like a showy kind of villain. Like, even though like he doesn't overplay anything, like he's just, it's like one of those big movie villains, like No Country for Old Men or Dark Knight, where you're just
Yeah,
like,
he's
he's like a
legitimately
force coming through
scary.
it. Yeah. And
But
yeah, the way he kind of just like observes people, like the way they react to him, like you could see how he's like observing them. Like, I don't know. Yeah. He really did it for me. Like, I thought this guy was great.
yeah, it didn't seem sanctioned because Jamal actually tells him at one point after, he finds out about this diary that had been kept and Victoria has. Or Veronica has kind of detailing everything, all the crimes and everything. He tells him like, "Hey, lay off of her. She has 2 weeks," and like he's still kind of like is fucking with her this entire time, like all the way up until like the end where the heist happens. So.
I guess we'll get into spoilers then, I guess, in a second. But if I'd have a couple criticisms of it, for one, I think that Daniel Kaluuya needed a better comeuppance. We could maybe
Yeah.
be getting to that in a minute, but it was kind of unsatisfying to me.
We
Go
talk
ahead.
about it in a minute, yeah.
Yeah. I also felt like, everything around the edges is so good. I wish that the center of it was a little more exciting. Like the heist itself, I wish was more like Heat, like
Yeah,
just so you're just like, whoa, like it's
that was the
like a
one thing
showstopper.
I came out of it going, it's like, that was really cool. I really liked the heist. I thought it was really well done. But like there wasn't this like
Dude,
standout
like.
action moment. Like there wasn't this scene that like makes it all click. I think it works really well, but
Yeah.
it's like missing that one piece to make it like extra
I know.
special.
And I was so expecting it too from the trailers because the trailer was just so good. And the rest of this movie is so good. I'm just like, man, how did he not nail like the one part that like you think that every director and everyone would be like obsessing over the whole time is like, hey, the main heist has got to be a showstopper,
Right.
And for whatever reason, I don't feel it quite is like there's some cool parts about it for sure, but yeah, I don't know, but there was like that again, certain comeuppance, which we'll get into in a second, and also I'm not a huge fan of Big Twist, which we'll get to in a second too. So
Okay.
I like this movie. It's smart. It's got a lot of cool things around the outside of it. Yeah, I generally like it. Like I said, I have a few kind of issues, and it's kind of weird that it faded for me a little bit. Like, as much as I liked this is, in my opinion, it's no The Town, or I don't know. There's another one I was thinking of, but like, it's not quite up to that level, but not very far from it either. So I don't know. What about you? I'm saying four too, by the way.
I'm at a four as well. It just misses out on like a couple things.
Yeah.
I actually did like the twist, but I don't like the resolution to it. It feels like it was a
Like the
little,
resolution to it.
well,
Well,
we'll
I mean,
talk
it's
about it,
spoilers.
but yeah, there's a piece to it that's like it didn't feel like enough happened. It all kind of resolves in like 3 minutes. And that's like I wish there was a little more breathing room there. And also like there are people, and I guess that this is true to life though, right? Like there are people that you want to get their comeuppance and they don't throughout the film. And but there's enough that do.
Well, screw it. Let's just get into spoilers. Yeah, like I thought I didn't need that twist. I don't know. I thought the movie was fine without it. I don't believe, like, I don't know. I don't buy it. It feels like something from a lesser action movie, or like a lesser, yeah, lesser genre movie. Which, this movie is a genre movie. But like that really like makes it feel like it to me. I just I don't know. I don't know.
So
something
well,
sits wrong with me about it.
so the twist is that like well, the premise is that everyone like these widows have to come together to do this job because their husbands have lost all this money, and the twist is that Veronica, her husband Liam Neeson, Harry,
It's like
who
our
is
main
the
character's
yeah the like
husband.
the husband wife duo here, the main through like the leaders of these crews, he fakes his death, and he's doing it in conjunction with Jack Mulligan, who is he's the one that's running for you know, what, city council or whatever. Yeah, I thought it was fine. It does. It is very much a Gillian Flynn twist, though.
It's a very, I don't know, it's a genre movie. Like, it's this genre movie's twist. Like, if
Sure.
you're, it's like, oh, the guy was actually alive, like he's actually alive all along, he's fucking over his wife. It's like, okay, so for the purposes of this film, we're supposed to believe that like people that were like married for 20 years, he decided he was gonna totally fuck over. I mean, I guess you know people do things like that, but what, I don't know. I
Well,
just.
and that there, I mean, there is more to it than just that, right? Like there,
He's
it
cheating on her, he's running away with one of the other guy's wives, I think.
wives.
I
Yeah,
don't know.
he's had a kid with one of his crew members' wives,
It's just to me.
and but the big piece I think is that like their son was killed, and
So
that.
what? So he can't be with his wife anymore because their son was killed? Like, you know,
Well, I mean
I
that—I mean
guess.
that—that's not uncommon. Like
Yeah, I
where
guess it's
something like
not.
that would pull it
It's
apart.
just, I mean, are you gonna go out like that? It seems a little extreme. It seems a little cruel,
It
and
does, but I
I
mean
don't.
that's reality of like children dying and like people don't know how to deal with it. And he obviously did not. She blamed him in a lot of ways for what happened.
So you like you buy all that, like it was
I
fine for you.
did not
I
have
don't
any
know.
problem with like I do kind of like think, all right, it's a little outlandish, right? Like for a movie that's pretty grounded, it is a little outlandish that like this council person, this alderman, is able to help stage this $2 million heist. But I don't know. I don't really know
It's also like a twist that is like impossible to guess unless you're just going by cliches of the genre. Like, you know, a really great twist, like The Sixth Sense, you feel like you should have got it. Like, you're like, oh, you know, this is just like, wait, what? Like, this guy has actually been alive the whole fucking time?
Well,
Like,
there are hints towards it,
really? I guess I didn't.
not
I don't know.
necessarily towards him being alive, but so the lady that he's was having an affair with, she doesn't show up. Like she's contacted, she doesn't show up for the
Oh, yeah.
the heist meeting, where she kind of lays it all out, and then like actually I think I would have been fine without them revealing that he was alive right there. Because there's a scene that happens in this apartment where she's trying to get a driver, and so she goes to this lady, and the lady's holding the baby, and the baby starts acting up, and the dog smells him and starts like crying at the at this door, and she goes over and she sees his flask.
Well, that's when she knows something's up.
Right, and
Like
like
that's when it clicks for
that's when it
you,
clicks for
too.
her, and it's like, but I think there are like little hints that things were maybe not great. I don't think they're
I guess.
played out great throughout the whole thing, but I kind of would have preferred they held like that actual reveal of him being alive a
It
little bit
does
longer.
nothing though, because it's just. Oh, then she finds out that that's what's going on, and she's like, "Fuck you!" And she blasts him away. It's like that,
Yeah,
like
when
that's cool. Like
that's
that's a
where,
cool
but
moment when she's like, "You know,
that
like, all
for
right,
me
let's
is the
fucking
part
kill
that
them."
like I'm like most like upset with. It's like I wish there was a little more to it.
I mean, I dug that she was. I love. I dug that she was not like she didn't
She
hesitate
didn't
to
hesitate. She just shot him. She
fuck
knew
you.
where he
Yeah,
was
you fuck
going.
me, and yeah. Like
Like
I thought, I dug it. Like that made her like more badass to me.
but
But again, it's also like this reminds me a lot of Halloween, where like I hated the twist in that, but it's the same thing. It amounts to nothing. So I guess okay, like it didn't ruin the movie. Everybody, like they're both handled the same way. Twist happens. We kill that twist. You know?
Sure. I don't know. It didn't hurt me in any way, and I like I'm sitting there with this dude in the theater, like, holy shit.
Yeah, everyone got kind of gasped.
Like
Um,
it was like it was
so
a
it's
it
not
was
it's,
a
it's
it
a
was a cool reveal like midway through, and then you start piecing together the other pieces, you know, as McQueen starts like revealing some other details.
one other thing I would mention is that I think Luya's death is like come on, dude, you couldn't give that guy something worse. Like, I mean, it's a horrible way to die, obviously, but like, come on. I wanted to see him like scared, or you know what I mean?
Sure. I kind of agree. Like I wanted something a little more brutal, like because
Like
the dude is
something to
sadistic
match
and
what
like
he's done. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
you want that, but it's kind of fitting for how this all plays out. Like and it is a brutal accident. Like
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
the dude sitting next to me is like what? He's like fucking stupid. Yeah, man, you don't fuck with those ladies. Like,
It's pretty. Look, overall, I had a pretty good time. There's a lot of things I like. I don't know if it's in my top 10, though. My top 10 is so fucking tight right now. We'll see.
fair enough.
I did see one other recent movie this week, Chris. Also, another one was like, I really liked this, but again, I'm like, this top 10 is getting pretty tight. I saw a film called Blind Spotting. Directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada, written by Rafael Cazal and David Diggs. They are also the stars of the film. So this is like a weird, like the way I described it to you earlier is like it kind of reminded me of Kevin Smith a little bit. Like
Right.
it's an indie comedy about two friends hanging out.
So
And
it is a comedy.
yeah, I mean
So
not comedy like Kevin Smith though, I guess. Like it's not going for broad big laughs. It's kind of it's what most people would call
it's
dramedy.
okay.
You know,
No, it's like the trailer like gave me more of like a crime drama feel to it.
no, 'cause, all right, so like yeah, I get what you're saying, and it's like in the trailer they show him, he's like stopped at a light and he sees like someone get shot by a cop. Like, and that is it does play a big part in the film, but it's a movie. Like imagine a movie like imagine like a Kevin Smith type movie, kind of, where it's just two friends hang out, but like these bigger things intrude on them, and like they have to deal with them. So yeah, it's not all laughs. Like so there's serious things. And there are repercussions too. Like so very early on, like, I think that's in the trailer, that happens very early on in Blind Spotting, and it's a big part of the whole entire rest of the film. Like don't get me wrong, but like it the way that plays out is in like him just getting more anxiety about hanging out with his friend who like so the main character in this film is like a black guy who is just getting done with like probation. He's trying to stay out of trouble and you know, get his life on the right track. And his best friend from when he was really young is this white guy who's kind of crazy. Like, he's the kind of guy you go to the party with and he gets into a fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, at this, you know, near the end of his probation, he sees this innocent black guy getting shot by a cop, and he's just thinking more and more like, if I keep hanging out with, you know, this really good friend of mine, like, am I going to end up, like, killed one day, you know, because I'm hanging out with him? Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, the movie's not all about police brutality, but it's about how, like, those issues can affect, like, a real lives that are living
right
in the world, or, you know. And, you know, it's hard to describe this movie, but it is, it's like, yeah, it feels like a 90-minute comedy type thing with, like, two friends hanging out, but the bigger issues intruding on their lives are not like girlfriends and their issues with their girlfriends, although that's in there as well. But yeah, there's like racial profiling and police brutality and white privilege and like all like kind of all these big things. And I found like I really liked the movie overall, and I found like that central conflict of, can I keep hanging around this guy? And is this guy even a good friend to begin with? Like a really compelling, like central story element, you know, like central theme of the film. Although, like, again, like I said, there's like lots of other things going on. And also like his friend, his white friend, who is this kind of like hothead, like he is way more one dimensional than you might think as well at first, you know, like, he is not just a cartoon caricature of like a, you know, a white guy who wants to be black or whatever. I don't know how you would describe this guy.
Okay.
But yeah, this movie kind of like deals with all these things that are kind of heavy, but it also has like a really light and human touch to it. And I, you know, I can describe it to you as like it reminded me of Kevin Smith a little bit, but it's like this movie has very confident direction and a real strong sense of style that you'll feel right away. And you know, the first 5 minutes of it, I don't know if this is his debut film, but it's pretty impressive. And it's also cool too because it came out this summer right around the same time as Sorry to Bother You, and they're both like these movies by Oakland filmmakers, kind of. That both take place in Oakland. This was much more reflective of the real world than Sorry to Bother You. But I think this would be like a cool like pairing. But either way, on its own, this is one like it's a little one that kind of flew under the radar that's well worth seeking out.
Okay.
4 stars.
Nice.
Be interested to see what everyone involved here. Both these two guys who acted and wrote it, in a way that also kind of reminds me of like, you know, Good Will Hunting or something like these. Like these two guys like trying to make it, you know,
right?
And this is like their, you know, their Good Will Hunting, like their stab at that. Yeah, I appreciate this. And again, I don't know if it makes it on the top 10, but it's well worth seeing before we get to that discussion, Chris.
Alrighty, I am. I want to see it so.
If I could make you see one movie before the end of the year, it would honestly probably be Three Identical Strangers. But also this is pretty good.
okay.
But if, yeah, Three Identical Strangers, I would say put that on your short list for like must see before we get to awards time.
All right.
And this. And I feel like there's something else.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, I think we did go see a lot of the same ones in the theater that like would be considered. So, all right. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll do in-depth Creed 2. We might have. Are you going to go see Ralph Breaks the
Internet? I'm going to see it tomorrow. So, and I may see some other things too. My AMC Stubbs thing resets on Friday. So,
yeah.
I have a couple days off. Might spend them in the theater.
Yep. So we'll have more new stuff for next week. And yep. We're getting like, what we have probably 3 or so weeks before we're getting to our two-parter.
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
So, yeah, we'll be back.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.